Welcome, welcome, welcome to Man Strong Podcast. In the historic day of the president being impeached. Wow. This is Clint Locklear, highly confused about everything that's going on in our world. We definitely need some men in Washington, and they seem to be in short supply. That's what I got to say about that. I am blown away by the childishness. When they impeached Trump, which now they're saying they may not even hand over to the Senate, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be very confused about what this means. It's a sad state because it shows how bad our schooling is, how bad our understanding of our government is, and how bad our understanding of our history is. So I just want to take just a quick moment to talk about this. Impeachment, Congress. Think of Congress like they're a grand jury. You could be put on a grand jury tomorrow if you're a citizen of this country, which means you get called into a courtroom, you hear the evidence of a case, you hear the other lawyer say why it's not true, and you make a decision whether to take this to a trial, which you're not going to be a part of, but you're going to make the judgment call. Is it worthy to take up the court's time to look at this? That's what Congress does when it impeaches. It doesn't have any authority at all in judgment. It's the grand jury. And then it goes to the Senate, and it's basically like a court. It's a political court. It's not like going to the Supreme Court or another federal court. And the Senate then votes after a trial, where it's treated like a trial, unlike what we saw in Congress, where they only had the witnesses they want. They didn't let anybody cross-examine them, and they didn't let anybody call witnesses so President Trump could defend himself. I mean, it was a one-sided game. It's like you're going to go play football, and you got to tape the other team's hands and arms up, and you just get to run over them all you can. It really shows how big of a man someone is to want to do something like that. It's like beating on a puppy as you tie him down. It just doesn't make any sense. But there's going to be people that thinks he's been convicted of something. And that is absolutely, unequivocally false. He's not been convicted of anything. And what they convicted him of shows how asinine they are. One of the things that they're saying is obstruction of Congress. What these dumbasses hope you don't know, because basically they're hoping American people are as big as dumbasses as they are, is you have three equal branches of government. You have Congress, which also is called that, but it's also part of the Senate's part of that, and they're separate. Then you have the president, and then you have the courts. Neither one of those has any power over the other ones, as far as can force stuff. So the Congress doesn't have any power over the presidency. So if the presidency doesn't want to give them something, there's nothing they can do. For one, they're not a court. They're a grand jury. So saying he obstructed one equal branch, obstructed another equal branch, is asinine on its face. Now I have no idea what's going to happen with this. I wish that it would go to the Senate, and I wish that they would hold a trial and they would absolutely decapitate the Democrats on their foolishness. I wish there would be people going to jail in the FBI for what they've done. You know, I know a lot of people will hear somebody like Tim, Meat Trapper, where he has a distrust of law enforcement, federal especially. 17 or 19 things the FBI did that was blatant law breaking, deceitfulness, outright forgery of emails to go to the FISA court on Trump. And you know what? Not a single person is going to get in trouble for that. You want to know why Meat Trapper gets so excited sometimes? Because the unfairness of it all, after a while, grates on your nerves. But if you heard Trump is impeached, don't worry, he's still your president. And I have no doubt he's going to win the next election. I think the Democrats have overplayed their stupidity. They've overplayed the stupidity of the American people. And people just on a basic human level can see that this is all this is a show trial. Kind of like you would see in Russia or a third world banana republic. That's what happened in the Congress, because that's basically what we have in Congress. Third world talent in Congress. Which I hate to say this, but that shows how easily Americans can be manipulated to vote for that low of a talent pool. Just amazing the depths the progressives will go to try to overthrow a president, which is what they're doing. If they did it with the military, we'd call it a coup. What they're doing is basically abusing their power, is what they're accusing Trump of, but they're abusing their power in their office to overthrow a president that won. And I'll be honest, I think he should wear this as a badge of courage. He should start wearing t-shirts that say, I've been impeached because I'm draining the swamp. He can turn this into a massive win. One part of me wants it to go to trial where they bring up all the real stuff in Ukraine, where the Democrats were paying for and actively with Obama down, trying to throw the election to Hillary Clinton. Kind of sounds familiar with Trump and Russia, except they made that up, and the Democrats actually did this. Now, if you're watching regular news, you're not gonna get very much of this information. For the simple fact, that's not the message that wants to be taken. So think about what you hear. Do a little bit of research. Understand your government. And you need to understand how bad it's become. On that happy note, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Great guy, great company, great service, great shipping, great prices, everything. If you're looking for something in the trapping world, predator calling world, he's somebody you need to look at. He's someone that you can build a relationship with. He will go out of his way to do the right thing with you. I could tell you countless stories. One of them, which is, he's showing up at my house tomorrow to take back a bunch of supplies. We're going to spend the weekend and goof off and just have a good time. He's bringing down 4 55-gallon drums of glycerin. Now, any other person that's going to bring down glycerin in my house, I guarantee you, is going to want to make a profit off of that. I can't get him to take it. He's very clear what it cost, what the barrels cost, and everything. He's driving 2,500 pounds of glycerin down here for free. Because he's coming here anyway, so why would he try to make money off of that? That's the type of people you want to do business with, trust me. Now, I was listening to... I really like listening to Joe Rogan. Most of y'all have probably heard him. He's got an awesome podcast. And I don't really listen to the ones a lot of time that's on the MMA, just for the simple fact. I don't know that much about the MMA. So when they're talking all these names, they could be aliens as far as I'm concerned. I just don't know. And when he brings in a lot of the comedians, I'll see just how it kind of starts. And most of the time I get bored with those pretty quick. But he had a female on there the other day. And she is, in the comedy world, apparently kind of like an equal to Joe Rogan. Because he's pretty much a big deal and all that. And she said that she enjoys being around him because he's an alpha wolf. But he doesn't try to intimidate or bully people. See, if you don't know anything about Joe Rogan, he's about 50 years old. He's really big in jiu-jitsu, a martial artist. He's in tremendous physical shape. He's strong, he's nimble, he's fast. All that type stuff that can be very detrimental to most of the beta males that are walking the face of the earth today. But he doesn't go around trying to intimidate or bully people. And he has a certain confidence about himself because he knows he is strong, he is fast, he can fight, he knows martial arts, he knows all this stuff, he's got these skills, and he's physically able to back him up, and he's been doing it for years. So he has a certain self-confidence about him. And she was talking about some examples where when people would try to roll over him to get him to do something, he just flat out says no. Not in a mean way, not an intimidating way, but just says no. And that's the end. The person asked knows that's the end. Joe knows it's the end before he says it. See, that's a certain type of strength men do not have anymore. I'm not sure where that happened. Now, like I keep saying over and over again, think about your granddad. What was your granddad like? Maybe your father. When something was off, or when someone tried to talk them into something that they didn't want to do, it was just a simple no. There was no reason to have an explanation of why you weren't going to do it. You didn't have to justify why. It's just a no. No's a powerful word, and people today are scared to death to say it. I get asked all the time for people that want to come ride with me when I'm out in the woods. And I have to simply say no. Is it not that I don't enjoy being around people? No, that's not it. The way my business is, with what I do in the woods now, it's so chaotic. I don't feel like there's any way that I can give them the time where it would justify their travel time or their pay for instruction. So to me, it's better off not to do it than to do it haphazard, because that's what it would be. So I simply say no. And then a lot of times there's people that try to talk me into it, and they find out pretty quick the answer is still no. They try to justify reasons why I should, or they try to guilt me, or they try to tell me how I should be. And the answer is still no. See, I'm not saying no out of malice. I'm saying no just because I know when I used to give a lot of instruction, it was a priority to me when that student showed up. And that's the way I treated it. Like they were going to school. I wanted to be able to give as massive amount of information that was practical and useful for them at whatever level they were at. Help them in any way that I could, but I was totally focused on them. And just the way that my business is now, there's no way I can do that. So the answer is no. So if you're a man, or you have children, and you want them to grow up to be men, for goodness sake, teach them it's okay to say no. Now, the other thing about what she said about Joe Rogan, which I've never met, is when you're around him, you know he's an alpha dog. You just know it. There's no questioning, there's no guessing, he just is. A lot of that has to do with how he carries himself, I'm sure. A lot of that has to do with just the way he portrays himself. There's a gentle strength, it seems like, with Joe Rogan, which I have not personally seen, but just as many hours as I've listened to him, he doesn't back down if he's got a question. He doesn't let people roll over him. He doesn't let people manipulate him. And he doesn't come back at them. I've only heard him get aggressive with one person, which I thought he went a little too far, and it was because the guy didn't like marijuana, and that's a big deal to Joe Rogan. And for some reason, that just crawled all over Joe, and he got pretty righteous with the guy. Didn't just beat him to death with him. Besides that one time, there's been countless people that's tried to play shenanigans, and he doesn't play that game. See, part of being a man is to me, and you know, when you're talking about certain things like this, it's hard to put into words because there's just a strength that is not boastful. And at the same time, there's a strength that doesn't let people roll over you or your family or your children. It's not something we see very much today because everybody's so worried about what everybody else is going to say. But the thing about what she said about him, which I thought was amazing, is he doesn't try to intimidate people with his alphaness. Now that, to me, shows Joe Rogan is probably a very mature male when it comes to this. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking mentally. That's something we should all strive for. See, but here's the deal. Here's the flip side of that coin. If you're a metrosexual beta boy that's weak physically, weak mentally, weak spiritually, whatever else you want to say, just weakness, you're never going to have that self-confidence to be the man that you should be. There's no way. Because you know, no matter how much you try to fake it, it ain't real. But that's what you should be striving for, is to be that confident alpha male. If you've ever listened to or read any of the books from Jocko, he's an ex-Navy SEAL. He did a bunch in Fallujah. And he talks about men should work on being gentle but dangerous. I think that's genius. Because even if you've got the skill, the strength, the speed, the aggression, you could bring out the fury, but you're still gentle, that says a lot about your character. See, even if you were to become 275 pounds of solid ripping muscle, a real man is not going to try to intimidate other people unless it's necessary for the situation. Because I do believe there's a time that it's okay to be intimidated. But that's very rare in our world today, thank goodness. But if someone was coming up, I'll give you an example. When we were in Costa Rica, we went to San Jose, which is a huge city, millions of people. And the guide was very clear. There's parts of this city that you're perfectly safe, and some get really sketchy, and some are dangerous. Well, me and Cindy's walking, and we have a nice dinner. We pound down some really good Argentina steak and wine. And it's feels about 65 degrees, beautiful outside. So we just start walking around. Well, we get about 8 or 9 blocks away from the restaurant. And let me tell you, the neighborhood changed. And it changed drastically. And we're pretty much the only non-Costa Ricans down there. And it was very clear that we were being, well, it was to me. I don't know if it was to Cindy, because she was just soaking in all the culture. But see, as a man, when you need to be on security detail, by God, you need to be on security detail. And it was clear I needed to be on security detail. I get behind her, because I can see in front of me, but I can't see behind me. And there were several instances of groups of guys that really were paying attention to us. And once I started seeing this, I told Cindy we need to get back to the main street. We still have 2 or 3 blocks to go to get back to the main street where we were back in the, I guess, quote, safe zone. When I would notice these young men completely paying a lot of attention, judging or sizing up's a better word, because when you go up to different countries, especially in South America, everybody thinks that every American just carrying around millions of dollars in gold jewelry everywhere. So as they're sizing me up and I'm looking at them doing that, I can tell you right then that there is a look that you can give somebody where you're basically letting them know that if they take one step forward, you're going to rip their head off. See, that was an appropriate time to use size to be intimidating. Like I said, luckily it's not something that happens very often. If you were to see a man getting ready to abuse a woman, that's probably a good time before it gets physical to see if you can intimidate him off of his foolishness. Justified at that time. Policemen use that all the time. But in everyday life, why in the world would a strong, confident man want to intimidate others? I can tell you that they wouldn't. Because a strong, confident man does not think that way. A strong, confident man, when they see somebody acting like trying to intimidate, you know, where the people are kind of roostering up and getting in people's spaces and talking really loud and trying to pretty much bully somebody, you're dealing with a non-strong, mature male. That don't mean it's not a dangerous situation, but you're not dealing with someone that's strong. You're dealing with someone that's mentally weak, that either uses that as a tactic to get their way, which is childish, which is not mature, or you're honestly dealing with a thug that could probably do about anything. Intimidation in sports, awesome. Intimidation outside of sports, no good. Now in business, Is it okay to be intimidating as a business? Yes. To your competition, not to your customers. Very different parameters going on there. You're competing. There's a lot of mind games that go in competing. Everyday life at the grocery store, at the beach, at the gym, there's no reason to try to be intimidated. Because if you catch yourself doing that, you need to, in the back of your mind, start going, what an immature thing to do. You want to be a strong man? You want to be really man strong? Don't try to intimidate people. It's childish. I just thought that was highly interesting, this woman's observation of Joe Rogan. Because she's around a bunch of different men. And she gave several examples of men who tried to intimidate her in different situations to go about getting different things. See, real men, when they see that, see, this is another thing that's gone in America, is you should be able to look at any other man in the eye and go, knock that crap off. Only a strong, confident man can do that. Because I can tell you what the metrosexual beta boys will do. Well, what if I get hurt? It's none of my business. It's this, that, and the other. They're scared to death. They're trying to hide behind every skirt they can find. That's not what a strong man is like. It's a dying art that needs to be revived. See, I don't think manhood is gone in America. I just think it's in kind of rehab right now. Now, I want to talk about something that I tried yesterday. I read a couple of books on kettlebells. And I have to admit, I'm reading a book that's called... Shoot, I don't even know what it's called. If you look up Strong First, it's a Russian dude, and he's really big into minimalist training and stuff like that, and he talks a lot about kettlebells, and he's wrote some books. I think this is his first book. On the first page, they show a kettlebell that looks to be about 100 pounds, and it says... on Russian Air Force Base. And it says, kettlebell, Russia's secret against weakness. I would like to have a poster of that. That was awesome. It's a secret weapon against weakness. Now, I've been playing around with kettlebells for several months. And I can tell you that they will stomp your butt. It is an amazing exercise to do. They're fairly cheap. You don't have to have power racks and benches and all this. You know, you work on kettlebell swings and kettlebell jerks. And something that I'm not coordinated enough to get into yet is what they call a get-up. But you can do presses. You can do... all kind of stuff with them. And one of the things that he talked about in the book very briefly was forearm training. And one of the things I've noticed as I get older, if I don't constantly work on my hand strength and my forearms, it's like the juice gets pulled out of them. So that's something I'm very conscious of. And if you're having trouble opening things and opening packages, and you know exactly what I mean if you're, you know, getting up to, you know, half century old. And so I did some research, and I found a YouTube video where a guy was talking about forearms and kettlebells. And, you know, I'm fairly muscular. 280 pounds, ex-military, I'm doing kettlebell swings with 60 and 80 pound dumbbells. I mean, kettlebells. So I'm like, yeah, I got this. Well, I was at the gym, and I'm like, well, I'm going to try some of those exercises. And I went in there, and they had a big kettlebell in the gym, which I just noticed, but it was only 20 pounds. Then they had a little pink one that was 10. And I'm like, well, that's not enough weight. Anyway, I grabbed the 20, and I was going to do one of these exercises with it. Couldn't do it. I was like, no way. Now, if you're not used to kettlebells, guys, I'm telling you, if you want to get in shape, get into kettlebells. But if you've never seen one, think of a cannonball with one handle on it that sticks up to the side. You can Google it. You'll see what they are. You can buy them at Walmart. Just can't buy heavy ones. You got to go to more specialty stores to probably get over 30 pounds or so. So these exercises I was doing my forearms, and my forearms are extremely sore today, so I believe that it probably did something pretty good. One of them is you make like you're going to punch something, so you're grabbing it, and you put your forearm down on your wrist, and you just try to raise it straight up, kind of like a reverse curl with a barbell. Now, the leverage of the ball is not the same as a barbell because it's sticking out in front of your hand. So 10 pounds feels like it's a lot more than 10 pounds. So I did, I don't know, 3 or 4 sets of 10, 12 reps like that. I had to keep adjusting my hands on the little kettlebell. And my forearms were on fire. So another one that he does, if you're going to grab someone's a hand to shake their hand, your hand's now straight up and down with the ground. Well, you put that again on your knee, and you bend your wrist down as far as you can, and then you lift it up as far as you can. There's not a lot of range of motion there. Well, the 10 wasn't enough, and the 20 stomped my butt. 280 pounds, 20 pound kettlebell stomped my butt, I'll be honest with you. It has to work the grip, which we're going to probably talk about grip training somewhere in the future, because that's just always been a fascination of mine. But this was such an unusual thing. And another way that I didn't have, because it was too light with the 20, but I'm going to try it when I get home the next time I do forearms with one of my 40s, the kettlebells, is you just grab it in your hands kind of like your fingers are underneath and your thumbs are on both sides on the top of the handles, and you just kind of like curl it up and down. I have a feeling that's going to be a lot harder than it sounds. So if you're getting up in age and you get some kettlebells, there's way more you can do with them boogers than meets the eye. The more that I'm playing with them, the more that I see why the Russians consider that their secret weapon against weakness. And the really amazing thing about kettlebells is when you're doing the swings and the jerks, it moves around your body unlike a barbell does that's unforgiving. So if you've had, dings and injuries in the past, you can kind of move your hand a different way. You can swing it just a little bit different way. And it seems to fit your body more than a dumbbell does. I'm not saying I'm giving up my barbells and dumbbells and stuff like that, but it's one of those things. I think it's something that I would seriously look at as far as getting in shape with your hands and your forearms as you get older. Because I can tell you from personal experience, if you don't work that, you lose it. And it goes down pretty quick, for me anyway, after about 45. I used to have tremendously strong hands. And I've got to work to keep that. And we're going to talk more about this in the future, because it's one of these really specialized things that that's really cool. Now, I did get a new member to start of my home gym, and it was a Rogue Assault bike. It's like $695. It was a lot of money. I had to put it together, which was very interesting because the instructions were so small that I couldn't hardly read them. But I finally got this thing together. And I know now why they call it assault bike. Because it will assault your self-delusions of how in shape you really are. Unlike a regular bike, like you get on a gym and you just like move your legs, the pedals are actually hooked into this fan, and so are these arm pieces. So you're it's almost like you're doing a punching bag type movement at the same time you're trying to spin the pedals, which has got a fan. So the harder you push, the harder it gets. And I got this thing for HIIT training. Trying to get rid of my baby fat. And the way the HIIT training works is 30 seconds wide open, and then you take a couple of minutes breaks as you walk around as your heart calms down so it don't explode. 30 seconds on the assault bike, and I don't think I've felt my heart feel like this since, like, when you start basketball in high school and you got to run suicides for an hour or something. Unbelievable. So that's just kind of what I've been up to this week, getting my butt kicked by a 10-pound pink kettlebell and an assault bike from Rogue, and just pretty much just trying to keep things in working order. So, you know, go out, think about where you're at in your life and what you need to do to make sure that you can keep doing what you want to do in life instead of becoming frail and weak or mentally weak, so you can perform in life and be more functional and enjoy things a lot more than what you're going to see most people your age are doing. I meet 50-year-olds all the time that look like they're 65. They move like they're 65. They're injured like they've been dropped out of a helicopter at 85. And when you find out what they do, pretty much, they don't do much of anything. And their body just goes, well, if you don't care enough about me, I ain't gonna care enough about you. Don't be that guy. Take care of yourself. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean that it's over. Older does not mean over. And if you're younger, take care of what you got, because you'll pay for it later. And I will talk to y'all next week. Hope y'all have a great Christmas. Enjoy time with your family. Really let it sink in. Don't be in such of a rush. Actually listen to people. Be nice. Just soak up what it means to be around family. You'll enjoy it a whole lot more. It'll mean a whole lot more to you. Instead of just trying to get to the next thing, be in the moment. And I promise you it'll mean more to you. So y'all have a good Christmas, and I will talk to y'all next time.